As he walked with bloodied feet toward the cemetery, they pressured him to give it up. But those three words rang with great clarity over and over again in his heart. Thousands upon thousands had converted to Catholicism following the miraculous intervention of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the 1600s. But in the early 20th century of Mexico's history, the Catholic faith was beginning to dwindle. The government at that time had seized churches. Religious schools were shut down, and they even exiled or killed priests. A group known as the Cristeros fought to defend their religious liberty and their Catholic faith. And this little 14-year-old boy, Jose, was part of this movement. As a young adolescent, he tried to join this group over and over again, but they refused. Eventually, his persistence paid off, and they installed him as the official flag bearer. But as time went on, there was a skirmish between the government officials and the Cristeros movement, and the general was just about to be captured. But thankfully, Jose gave him his horse so that the general could escape. But unfortunately for Jose, he was captured. Once he was captured, the government officials repeatedly demanded that he deny his faith. Say, "Death to Christ the King, and we will let you go." But over and over again, he did not give in to their pleas. Even one time, their parents tried to ransom him from the government officials, but he said, "My faith is not for sale," because they would release him on the condition that he denied his faith. Eventually, they led him to walk towards the cemetery. And once again, they asked him to say those words, "Death to Christ the King." Yet, with a loud voice, he exclaimed those three words that rang in his heart. "Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King." And with those words, he sealed his fate and gave up his life for Christ. And now he is known as Saint Jose Sanchez del Rio. Although bound in chains and subject to cruelty, Saint Jose and all the saints we celebrate today remind us that it is only the saint who is truly free. It is only the saint who is truly free. How can someone be bound and imprisoned but be free at the same time? According to our world, freedom is seen as the absence of restraint. Especially after Halloween, many of your children or grandchildren are probably screaming out for freedom to eat all the candy they received yesterday. As a result of this commercial, consumeristic view of freedom, especially during Halloween, we have forgotten the true origins of this solemnity and the true freedom which it proclaims. Some have associated Halloween with the pagan Celtic feast of Samhain, which was the celebration of the new year. The cold, dark atmosphere of this time prompted the Celtic people to associate this time with death, and they believed that the souls of the dead were allowed to return to their homes at this time. However, this is not the origin of Halloween. Halloween is our modern English rendering of All Hallows' Eve, or All Hallows' Even, which means the day, the evening, or the eve before the solemnity of All Saints. Halloween was meant to be a time when we venerate, we honor the saints. This has its roots even back to biblical times, when the early Christians venerated the cloth that touched St. Paul, or when the early Christians gathered the bones of St. Polycarp so that they could venerate it and remember him. Eventually, the early church instituted a special feast for all the saints in the 4th century because there were literally too many saints to celebrate, especially after the persecutions of Emperor Diocletian. Although all the saints Although All Saints was celebrated on different days in the early church, November 1st was eventually chosen for the church by Pope Gregory IV in the 9th century. So this celebration goes all the way back into the history of the church. Clearly, this shows that the origins of Halloween are profoundly Christian. And so we need to reclaim the meaning of All Hallows' Eve. We need to reclaim its purpose. But why do we celebrate it? This man suffered tremendously his whole life. By the age of eight, when he came home from school, he found that his mother had died of kidney failure and of heart disease. 3 years later, he would lose his 26-year-old brother, who contracted scarlet fever by helping out a patient as a doctor. 9 years later, he came home with medicine for his father, only to find the cold body of his father slumped over. He cried to his friends, "I'm all alone. At 20, I've lost all the people I've loved." Not only that, one by one, his friends and classmates were being captured by the Nazis, and his country was being torn apart by war. In the midst of so much suffering and loss, he could have folded. He could have given. But he embraced his suffering. He allowed the cross to transform him, and he became truly free to become a great saint. Many years later, he became an instrumental player in the fall of communism. It was because of him that millions of youth from all over the world would gather to be reinvigorated in their faith. And it's because of him that we have one of the greatest popes of all time in our history. This is the story of Pope St. John Paul the Great. So why do we honor the saints on this day? St. Bernard would respond, "I tell you, when I think of them, I feel myself inflamed by such a tremendous yearning. Calling the saints to mind inspires, or rather arouses in us, above all else, a longing to enjoy their company, so desirable in itself." Every year, when we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, we are reminded again of our destiny, of our calling to be united to God, to have the true freedom of the saints. Only the saint is truly free, because only the saint knows how to love God in every moment of their life. In the midst of tragedy, suffering, war, persecution, sickness, the loss of family members, or even death itself, nothing can take away the freedom of the saints, because nothing can separate them from the love of Christ. This is the path of the Beatitudes. Whether we're poor or mourning or persecuted for righteousness' sake or for the sake of Jesus, we can still choose to live for the kingdom. This is not just a hopeful optimism, but our freedom is built on the belief that Jesus is the King, that He is the Lord of the universe, that we are worth more than many sparrows to this God who has conquered the world. And so, brothers and sisters, I implore you to choose sanctity today, not tomorrow, not next week, not when things are better, because the greatest tragedy in life is not to be a saint. The greatest tragedy is not to live life empowered and transformed by grace, to be a light in the darkness of this world, and to experience a foretaste of the happiness that awaits us. Choose today to imitate the lives of the saints, to give your life completely, to entrust all of your freedom to the Father, who will restore it to you in even greater measure. Choose today to let nothing separate you from the love of Christ, but use all the circumstances of your life to become holy, whether it's sickness, health, poverty, riches, life, or death. You may even say, "I am too weak to be a saint." So let your weakness be a source of your sanctity. For as St. Paul says, gladly, therefore, will I boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may remain in me. As we now turn toward the liturgy of the Eucharist, we hear at the end of the preface, and so we glorify you with the multitude of saints. Let's be reminded that in the Mass, this is where heaven kisses earth, where all the saints from every tribe, from every tongue, and every nation are gathered here with us. And together we praise the majesty of his glory, as together we say, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever. By their heavenly intercession, may the saints who praise him eternally in heaven show us how to praise him at all times on earth, so that with the freedom of the saints, we may always proclaim, Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King.